This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am so thrilled you're here. Happiness Solved is dedicated to giving you content that is empowering, motivational, inspirational, and of course, a dose of happiness. It is my way to give back to the world and share other people's stories and wisdom. This thing called life can be challenging, and my guests share their amazing stories, wisdom, and life lessons that demonstrate anyone can choose happiness. You see, happiness is a journey, not a destination. I am Sandy Scarlatta, America's happiness coach, author of Happiness Solved. I'm a retired U.S. national and international figure skating coach. I've been a certified life coach since 2004, and I've been inspiring others to shift their mindset and choose happiness for over 20 years. If you have any questions you would like answered on this podcast, or just in general, please email me at sandy@sandyscarlatta.com. or visit www.sandyscarlatta.com to schedule a free call. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you enjoy it. Today's guest is Marie Alessi. Marie lost her husband and father to their two boys in June of 2018. When her book, Loving Life After Loss, ranked in the top 100 list in Australia on publishing day, she realized she had something the world needed. Only months later, Marie founded a global movement with the same title, as this is what her life is all about, Loving Life After Loss. This is such a great interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Marie, hello. How are you today?
I'm really good, Sandy. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm pretty sure you're my first guest from Australia. So that's kind of cool. It's somewhere I've always wanted to go. Yeah, it's my husband and I are tennis fanatics. And
oh, wow.
I don't know if he feels the same way. For me, my bucket list is to go to all the big tennis tournaments. So,
yeah.
And see them live. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. And the whole tennis industry was just really in shock that, you know, your top female tennis, tennis player Ash Barty, retired. We're like, what? What do you mean she retired? No.
I'm going to shock you right there. I have no idea about tennis and I really don't know much about it. So you can completely put me on the spot here and I wouldn't even know who that is.
Wow. Because I know a lot of people, right? In Australia were very upset about it. She just won the Australian Open.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was now really cool. So anyway, I digress. So you have a pretty remarkable story, and I love the mission that you're on right now with your book and your global movement, Loving Life After Loss. So can you tell me about, you know, what happened and your journey through that?
Yeah. I'm going to give you an absolute nutshell version and I'm going to leave it up to you to go deeper where you would like to know more. So Okay. Please don't be shy. Ask me whatever you want. The nutshell version is I'm originally from Austria. I was born in Austria in Vienna and always had a really, really strong calling to come to Australia. I always felt like this is my home. This is where I need to live. I have no idea why. I never saw any documentaries or anything. I even thought that Sydney was the capital. That's how little I knew about Australia when I first came here. And
wow.
It took me quite a few years. And I was 25 when I finally came to Australia. And I still remember landing in Sydney and I felt like I'm home. It was an instant feeling of I am home. This is where I belong. It took me another 7 years to finally make that official, to finally make Australia my home. You know, I've been traveling back and forth for like 12 times in those 7 years. And then I finally stayed for good. And that was in 2004. And only 10 months later, I met my husband, Rob, and another 10 months later, we were married. If anybody would have told me that prior, that I'm going to meet a man and marry him within 10 months, I would have gone like, "Are you nuts? No way would I do that." If he's Mr. Right, he'll still be Mr. Right in 3 to 5 years. No rush. But when I met Rob, there was just no doubt at all. I just knew, and it was beautiful. So we got married. We had a dream wedding, barefoot wedding at the beach. We had two sons. When I had my first son, I decided to leave the advertising industry that I was working in when I met Rob, and I delved into the self-development world. It was fairly new to me at the time, and within a short amount of time, I started my own business. I focused on mindset coaching and worked with first moms going back into the workforce, then business owners, then higher caliber business owners. I really noticed how important it is to change your internal world, so it affects whatever you want to change in your world. As in, you need to work on your personal growth to achieve business growth or relationship growth or whatever you want to have in life. So that was my life. That was what I was doing, and we were in a really, really happy space. We were living our dream life, spending a lot of time at the beach with the family, and Rob was a very, very hands-on husband and dad, and it was just really picture perfect, just like we always expected it to be, how we always wanted it to be. And then one day in June 2018, Rob went on a business trip and never came back. He died from a brain aneurysm. It was very abrupt. There was no pre-warning. He was in the prime of his life, 45, super healthy surfer. He was just super fit. There was no pre-warning, and then he just collapsed in a shower and died. And that's my background. That's what started everything. I realized fairly soon after Rob died that I was handling grief very, very differently to what society expected, to what society teaches you. You fall apart and you cry, and then maybe in a year's time it feels a little bit better. That's roughly, in a nutshell, what society offers. But I knew that that was not my choice. And Rob and I were all about choices, about love and connection. He was actually the one who taught me about the concept of choices. And I knew I had a choice to make right there. And I knew that my choice was that I wanted to create the happiest life possible for the boys and I. And that's what I did. That was my entire focus. And people started noticing and started reacting and responding to the way I dealt with life. And they were quite surprised, as you can imagine, because nobody expected that. So I decided to write a book about it. And about 4 months into Rob's passing, I shared our story. I wanted to leave a love legacy for Rob. And that story was called Loving Life After Loss. So that was, the seed planted that later on turned into a global movement. And I believe the reason why that happened was the book became an Amazon number one bestseller, and it ranked in the top 100 of Australia. I didn't expect that, Sandy. I had no idea what was to come. I was so blown away by those results, and I said,
Well,
"I've got something the world needs. I need to do more with that." And yeah, that was the entire nutshell story how the global movement started.
wow. And first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss. And that, so where do you think that strength came from? That, you lose your husband, you've got these two little boys. Where do you think it was really the fact that you were a mother and that, you saw, wow, I have to be here for my children. And where do you think that came from? Because it would be very difficult to keep going forward. I mean, obviously you have to when you have children.
No, you don't have to. I really want to say that right here. That is such a misunderstanding. So many moms would say that, and I'm dealing with that on a daily basis with clients that I work with. Moms so often say, "Well, I had to. I had no choice." And I'm like, that's exactly where you go wrong, because you did choose that. You might not have been consciously aware of that, but you did choose to show up for your children, to step up. I chose that, maybe not so consciously, or maybe a lot of people don't do it consciously. I did it very consciously. For me, it was this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to step up for you. And there are so many people who don't do that, who fall into depression, who fall into mental health issues or challenges for a while, or who just don't find the strength within to get out of bed and function normally. There are a lot of them out there. So I just want to put this into perspective, that when you are one of those moms who carried on and you stepped up, it's not because you had to, it's because you chose to. And that is really important for me to highlight that difference, because there is a choice that we make. And for some, it's on a subconscious level. For others, it's on a more conscious level. But for me, it was a decision. And where the strength came from, I really felt like it came from within. And I really felt like there was a moment where I felt, when Rob passed, it felt like he was pouring his entire strength into me. I really felt that there was a difference in strength in me showing up, and it blew me away. It was overwhelming in the most beautiful way. I felt carried, I felt guided, I felt looked after. I felt I was standing quite strong within myself. And that strength is something that I often talk about as hidden gifts in adversity. That was certainly one of my gifts that I received when Rob passed.
Wow. That's really quite amazing. And so you just kind of have me floored a little bit here thinking about this, because while I've dealt with a lot of loss in my life, thankfully I've never lost my husband, you know, I don't know what that is like. So I'm just trying, you know, because when you described your marriage as kind of like this fairy tale romance, and that, you know, right. And you just had this wonderful life, and then all of a sudden it got stripped away from you. So what do you tell your clients and talk about in the book? How do you help people with that, being able to look at it from a totally different perspective, and that you can love your life after losing, you know, the love of your life, let's just say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just actually gave the answer yourself in there. It's different perspectives. This is really my starting point, you know, helping people shift their perspectives. And one of the very first questions I often ask is, I want them to separate who they have lost and what they have lost. Because often we look at everything in my life is gone now, everything that I knew, as in feeling safe, feeling loved, feeling connected, being looked after, being cared for, nurtured, being a couple, being, you know, a mom and dad, and all of a sudden you're a sole parent. I often challenge people to look at, okay, what is it that you have lost? What is it that you miss the most right now? And not looking at, okay, Rob's gone and everything's gone. It's like, okay, Rob died, and what do I miss the most? I miss the most that I felt so safe around him. I felt protected. I felt we were doing this all together, you know. And when you look at all the things that you feel you have lost, that is when the next level happens, when you can actually step into creation. And this is a very empowering process when you do that. And obviously, I really suggest that you do that in a guided way, that you have got somebody to hold space for you there, because this can be a very, very tricky and challenging journey, trying to do this on your own, because often it's... it's really tricky to see that outside perspective without somebody who's already on the outside helping you, guiding you through that. But either way, I want to put this out there as a challenge for you to then look at the list of things that you have created that you're missing, and look at how can you recreate that right now. And the most important part here is, this is not about replacing anyone. This is about stepping back into empowerment to look at the things that you can do. There will be things that you can't do on your own. I totally see that. I totally understand that. Yet there will be a lot more things than you give yourself credit for right now that you can actually do, that you can recreate, that you can do in a different way. And that's important for us to learn that step by step. So there's always a process in everything. And I think the biggest the biggest trick here is to allow yourself to do that in your own time and in your own way.
Yeah, of course, because you can't rush the grieving process. And for me personally, my brother died when I was 12 years old, and I never dealt with the grief. And eventually, you know, it catches up with you, right? For me, I ended up in an outpatient rehab with drug abuse because I, you know, in my early 20s, because I never dealt with that grief and pain. And and you can't rush it. Everybody, you can't say it's going to take this much time to grieve. You know, it's going to be different for everyone, for sure.
Absolutely.
So I love this movement. So what other things do you do? Because you're calling it a global movement. So what does that look like? What does your global movement look like?
So first of all, we have the Facebook group where people can come and, you know, ask for support or just share their stories. And you'll be surprised that a lot of people actually share happy stories or empowering stories, encouragement in there. And the whole focus of Loving Life After All is exactly what the title suggests, you know, and it's we focus on holding space, sending love, helping people heal, helping people see the other side of grief. And there's actually, it sounds quite shocking to most people when you say that without any pre-warning, but there is actually a different side, like joy and happiness and fun and lightness. All of that can happen in the space of grief, yet it's not what society suggests. It's not what society teaches us. Society literally just teaches us one side of the story, and that is the heaviness, that is the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the really excruciating pain of that person not being physically present anymore in your life. And there is a different side to it. I discovered it and I'm so grateful for it. And now I want to share it with as many people as possible. So in the group, we run healing journeys, we run healing programs, healing retreats, but there's also just a day-to-day checking in with people, holding space for them, allowing them to share their story. When you look into other grief groups, there's very often the focus is on the hurt and on the pain and on the suffering. And I have to say, unfortunately, you see a lot of competition in terms of comparison. Whose loss is sooner? Whose husband was younger? Who had more kids? Whose kids were younger? Whose kids weren't even born yet? There is so much going on where I'm like, oh my God, this is sad. There is no support for healing, for a different outlook. There's just who's got it worse and who's been suffering for longer and who's sleeping less. You know, that I can't sleep. I have noticed that it certainly is a topic when you are in the space of grief. Yet I've also noticed there's a turning point where this becomes a label where people then often don't realize that they start living up to it because that's just what you do. It's just part of grief. I don't sleep well. So you're actually telling your subconscious that you're not supposed to sleep now because you're still grieving. So it gets worse. You create that downward spiral. What we do in Loving Life After Loss, we are creating an upward spiral. And when I see people posting something about hurt, about pain, I want to offer them a step upwards, not a step downwards, if that makes sense. I want to help them out of that. I want to help them see the other side, but I also honor their pain. It's not that I'm trying to take it away from them and go like, no, you're not supposed to suffer. Yet I do want to offer them the different path, that there is joy and that there is happiness and there is hope and there is healing in grief and after grief. And often you don't find that in other groups, and I find that quite sad.
Yes, no, I totally agree with you. And because, well, yes, you have to grieve and you have to feel it. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, with your mission is all about, yes, you're going to grieve, and you can be happy and instead of sitting in a victim mentality. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the big difference that I see in the way I work with that is that my focus is on healing. Right. I'm literally focusing on joy and on happiness and on healing versus in other groups, the focus is on the grief. And I'm like, I don't have to worry about that you grieve properly because that's something that happens along the way anyway. when you focus on happiness, the grief still happens along the way, because grief is a process. It's not a flick the switch and tomorrow you're good.
Right.
Nobody can offer you that. It's not possible. It's not there. Emotions, it's like energy in motion. That just happens. And the motion indicates there is a path, there's a process to that, if that makes sense. So by us focusing on the healing and on our path together, and how can we support each other in this, the grief still happens along the way, but it doesn't become the main focus. And that is the big difference, I believe.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So your book, Loving Life After Loss, can be found on Amazon, yeah. Obviously.
Yes.
And then I'm looking here at your website. So you have your website.
Yeah.
Can you give that website
yes.
out real quick?
Absolutely. So my website is my first name, last name.com. It's MarieAlessi.com. And on our website, you literally have all the links to connect with us. You can find a link to our group, to our movement. You can find a link to my first book, Loving Life After Loss, my second book, Happy Healing, my first TEDx talk that I just did in February, which is Redefining Our Image of a Widow. I think that is a really, really important talk, you know, when we look at labels that we have and how we can redefine them. And you can also book a chat with me or have a look at the courses, the journeys, the retreats that we offer. There's literally everything on there. You find a little story about me, the background. I just love the website. My friend just redid it for me. I'm just very happy with it. I have to give Romana a shout out here. Thank you so much.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful website. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, you certainly are very inspiring. And I'm sure there's millions of people that need this, because it's such a hard thing to go through, no matter what type of loss it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any...
We definitely all need love and support in this.
We totally do. We totally do.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience that we haven't talked about?
I think the only thing left for me to say right now is I would really encourage everyone listening to this to learn to trust your intuition again. We all have quite strong intuition, and we can foster that by just focusing back on it, like really touching base within, listening to our inner voice, our inner guidance, and you'll be surprised how often your inner voice actually craves happiness and lightness and joy in the space of grief. And most of us, because of how we've been taught by society, think, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. I'm not supposed to feel like that. But you are, because joy is just as much a part of life as there is sadness. And if we allow space for both of that, I think that's the most beautiful way to create balance and to find our own way forward. So, yeah, that's my big call out for you when you're listening to this, when you feel somehow drawn to our podcast here, then please just remember that there is intuition. You have really strong inner guidance. Learn to listen to that again.
I love that. And yes, we are humans, and we are meant to feel the full scope of emotions.
Yeah.
And for anybody out there listening, please don't make yourself wrong for feeling happy in the face of grief. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, please don't. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Sandy.
Oh, thank you, Marie. That was such a great interview, and I loved everything that Marie was talking about, just about dealing with your life after loss, and the fact that she was able to just embrace that she was going to love her life regardless of the situation she found herself in. So thank you so much for listening today. As always, I hope that you and your family are safe and healthy, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.